designers are here.
I'm Anita from Cedar Hill Farmhouse.
And I'm Yvonne from Stone Gable.
And I'm Kelly from My Soulful Home.
We have tips and tricks and decorating advice for you, so let's get started.
Welcome to episode 11. Today we're going to talk about some things that we want you to know about decorating. And it might even be some things you already know, and might be some things you haven't thought about in this particular way. So we're going to open up the conversation by me sharing a little confession.
Ah, I like these.
Yeah.
Is it deep and dark?
You know, a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think about it.
Does this have to do with your celebrity crush?
Well, there was that. No, I'm not telling that yet. Maybe episode 25. We need to get to know these gals a little better before I share that. I want to talk about what I thought about decorating before I was a decorator as a career. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I thought it was kind of fluffy. You know, I mean... I thought it was fluffy.
What?
I mean, I thought it was
That's because
important.
She was a lawyer.
Yeah. And
well, I
uh-huh.
yeah.
I was young, you know, and I was getting advice. Oh, no, you know, I kind of... Anita, I think I heard you talk about that, too. Your dad saying you should be, you know, an engineer. You can't make money doing that. Kind of along the same lines. But I thought, I'm not going to be a decorator. Like, I like decorating, and I'll decorate my own house.
You ate those words.
Well, so I was working in a paper.
I'm going to go to law school, and I'm going to be a lawyer and all this stuff. And I even had a boyfriend in college. And this is what rings back to me. Okay, so we had a boyfriend. He dumps me. I find out later on. You know, that he's getting married to someone. Now, this was the person.
This is a dark confession. Oh, my gosh.
This runs deep. He, you know, he was all about saving the world. He took time and went and built houses, you know, before people even did that. You know, he was Habitat before Habitat was a Habitat.
Uh-huh.
And he was in the Peace Corps. You know,
I was going to say that.
This kind of person. And I found out, of course, I was a little like, oh, he's getting married. Oh, great. I heard through the grapevine. And then I found out he was marrying somebody who was an interior decorator. And I thought,
oh, my.
Like
salt in the wound.
I want you to marry, like, a woman who's going to be, like, you know, transplanting organs out on the Serengeti. Like, what are you doing? I'm an interior decorator.
Well, so when I was working with all these guys in the engineering world, like I was saying, and I was wearing my steel-toed shoes, I was sewing curtains on the weekends, but I wasn't about to tell those guys what I was doing. So I didn't look down my nose on it and think it was fluffy, but I knew they were going to. So it was my little deep, dark secret back then.
Your little dirty secret. I know. So my dirty secret is that I did think it was fluffy and it was just sort of something you did in your house because, you know, you liked it or, you know, it made me happy to move things around. And I always did it. Okay. And then dial ahead. You know, I loved being a lawyer and all that was great. But then when I had my family and when I learned by seeing it happen how important it was, mm-hmm. you know, to have a beautiful home, a comfortable, safe home that expressed your personality and was authentic to you and made your family members feel good. When I realized how important that was as an adult, mm-hmm. decorating took on a whole different perspective for me. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it was that time when we moved to California and I wasn't being practicing law anymore. And I had to build a life all over again, 3,000 miles away from anything we knew. I think that's when I started to realize how important decorating is. I mean, my mom always had a beautiful home, but I don't think at that time in my life I appreciated the deeper levels and how decorating can really affect your happiness and how you feel about it.
Absolutely.
And now when the world is so crazy, I mean, the world's, mm-hmm. I guess, always been crazy, but everybody says, oh, the world's so crazy now. But, you know, to have a refuge from it.
And that's
so
what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sanctuary. Building a sanctuary is a very, very important thing to do. Mm-hmm. And aesthetics are very important. My son had, this wonderful friend. She was so creative and I just adore her. And my son would go over to play at with her son at her house, and he would call me. He was little, and he'd say, "Mommy, come get me. I can't see now," because there was so much going on in her house that he would just be so visually stimulated, and he would say it like, "I can't see now," and he would come home, and it's just like, oh, you know.
Oh. That's well, so I know, funny. And it's amazing. You think that these members of your family don't care about the decorating. My daughter is a musician, and she does not really share my love of decorating. But I know when she tells me that she just loves to come home because she loves her pretty room. And when she maybe goes on, you know, some of these mission trips and things, she's like, "I want to go home to my pretty room, Mom. My pretty French room."
Don't you feel that way? I feel that way when I go. I love to go away, but I'm even more excited to come home.
Oh, well, actually, I'm quite the homebody, so I really just prefer staying home.
I love coming home, and I come home to my house, and it's like, oh, I'm here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right,
and a lot of
it gives you peace.
Yes, exactly. And that's
so
that's the
bottom
that's
line,
an important
really,
feeling.
Decorating, and if you do it right for you, authentically and all of that, it makes you feel good, it makes you feeling good. Then you're creating this perfect environment in which for your family and you to thrive. Mm-hmm. And then you're better people when you go out into the real world, right?
Mm. Well, and I like to say that my decorating style is about creating a beautiful home that celebrates your friends and family. So to me, the decorating is about the people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And
you're
creating
absolutely
right. that space for them.
So I guess I just had to get my deep confession off my chest to let you know. That,
we still you know, love you, Kelly.
I'm a true believer, and I have been for a long time, and it's always been in there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was a time when I thought it was just fluff. So it's,
oh my.
But it's not. And so it's really important what all of these bloggers are doing and that everybody mm-hmm. that's listening here is doing in their own homes. Because, if you make your own family happy and make yourself happy, I mean, that's the best you can do in the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Start at home.
So let's,
that's exactly
yeah, I think
right.
Mother Teresa said that somehow, some way. Okay, so let's get started with today, now that I got my I went to the confessional and got that out of the way.
So do you have to say some Hail Marys or something? I don't know.
I probably will. I'll do
okay.
something later on.
Okay.
So we're going to talk today about what you should know about decorating. Anita, do you want to kick it off with some thoughts?
Well, we've talked about this before, but I think it's important to restate it, and that is that mistakes are part of the process. I think that's a misconception people have, that if they do it once, if they decorate something and it doesn't look good, that they must not be very good at it. But what they don't realize is that making all these mistakes is part of the learning process and part of the decorating process. You just try one thing. If it doesn't look good, just keep going until it looks like you want it to.
Good point, Anita. There's nothing we do in life perfect the first time. It's all about practice.
I think I heard it said one time that if you want to be an artist or you want to be a creative, you have to be willing to be bad at first, whatever it is you're trying
oh,
to learn.
Oh, I agree with that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I have one. I have another thing that you should know, and that is you can do a DIY project. So many people think, oh, I've got to call in a professional, or I don't want to tackle something, and you know, you can do it. My husband and I 6 years ago decided to gut every single room in our 21-year-old home and redo the entire thing from the flooring up, and we are mostly, well, totally DIYers, and we learned how to lay hardwood flooring and put in hardware and put in floorboards and hang chandeliers. And
you did your own floors?
Yes, we do our
wow.
own floors. Well, when I say we, I mean
does that mean Bobby?
Bobby.
Somebody has
yes.
to be the boss.
That's right. And
so you were just supervised is what you're saying.
Well, I was quality control.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. important.
But anyway.
So did you say, Yvonne, on many occasions, Bobby, you can do it.
Well, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Oh, I hope Bobby does not listen to episode 11. Someone told me a long time ago that men love to hear, like, they are, you're the only one that could do this. You're doing such a good job. I don't know what I would do without you. No kidding.
Kevin would smell a rat. I can't say that.
Well, It works like a charm. You know, I don't try to use my powers too often, but when I need something done, it works. But anyway, let's get back to our DIY project.
Well, I think that's a bit of a DIY, too.
DIY your husband.
Totally. DIY what you want.
Yeah, so anyway, if you have the time, tutorial, and talent, you can do anything. The three T's. We're doing a main bathroom in our hallway upstairs. We've been working on it for 7 months. Now, I don't need to work on it and have it done in a month. And we both have full-time jobs, and we just work on it here and there. It will get done. And my husband's really great at looking at a tutorial and figuring something out, and I'm saying, hey, can you do it this way, or how about if we do it this way? And so we go online or we read and we find ways to do it. And the other thing is practice a little, because you can get that talent if you practice. A quick example is painting furniture. I love the look of painting furniture. And what I did is I got a few paints and went online, looked at a few videos, and I used a piece of cardboard and practiced on it till I got good. And that's, you know, you can do DIY projects. You can cut the cost of things. You don't need professional decorators, especially. And I always have the attitude, oh, how hard can this be? Now I find out how hard it can be, but you know, you learn from your mistakes and you move on. And we're pretty good now at laying hardwood floor. So that's my number one. You can do projects that you think you can't do.
I'm impressed. Mm,
very impressive.
Good. Okay. And, I'm going to add that having style has nothing to do with your budget or having money. Mm-hmm. Right. And because style does not go hand in hand with buying the most expensive thing. So,
Great point.
There's a little bit of DIYing in there for sure to save money. But even on items that you need to buy, you know, if Bobby's not going to make you a sofa or something like that, and you have to actually purchase
it. You never know.
If you have the three T's,
that's true.
You can do it. But, you know, but people think, oh, you know, I can't get that style because I don't have that budget. But really, style has absolutely nothing to do with the amount of money that you can or are willing to spend on.
Well, and I think you can go high or low with a particular style. You can go with a high-end items or lower-end items and still get a similar look.
Right. Or just add in a few key pieces, you know, spend the money on certain things, like spend the money on the sofa.
Excellent.
And don't spend the money on the end table. Get that at a yard sale and paint it, you know, something like that.
You know what I always say? Do not spend a more than the years you want to live with something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We need to make a little, like, point of purchase book with all these wonderful things that you say.
That's a good point. That's my mantra.
That's my mantra. Anita, do you have another one?
Anita has some, I know.
Well, I think that one is there are exceptions to every rule, because there's a rule for the height of chandeliers from the ceiling. There's a rule on how, you know, where artwork should be on a wall. But it seems like every time I come up with a rule that I find out about, I know of an exception. So I think it's okay to, you know, go off-road and maybe do something that's maybe goes against the rules if it makes sense for you in your home.
I would say, as a caveat to that, learn the rule.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and we could probably put a few of our blog posts in the show notes with rules. I know I have one about chandelier heights and all of that, and there's coffee table heights and all of that. Know the rule, and then you have the ability or the knowledge to break it when it's appropriate.
True. That's a good point.
I think it has a lot to do with your style. If you want to create your own style, yes, follow the rules, but there's some that just don't make sense. In my family room, I have a nice a chair, but I have a window next to it with a space and another chair, and the space is pretty far apart. So I ended up putting it an old desk that I found at a vintage shop, and it's much higher than the arm of my chair. But in that situation, it looks really good, and I can put a lot of things on it, you know, my lamp, some books, much more, and it fills up that space way against the rule, because the rule is an inch or two lower than the arm of whatever piece of furniture you're putting that end table next to.
I don't like that rule at all, because I always go with tall end tables. I just don't like the low table look, and everything just with the taller ceilings and everything, I feel like taller is better.
Well, that's a good example of knowing when to break the rule. I think you're right spot on with that, Anita. Mm-hmm. I have another one, and and if you like to decorate, then you are a decorator.
Yay!
Yeah, so many, I mean, because you're decorating, so many people, you don't have to go to the Parsons Institute to have a degree to say that you're a decorator. If you have a passion for decorating, you are one. You're a decorator.
Yes.
But here's what will help you maybe feel more like a decorator. Keep honing your skills. Mm-hmm. Keep curating your look. You know, you want to develop a style. You want to create a style that is you. Mm. And so you don't think of yourself as, oh, I'm just not a decorator. If you love it and you have a passion for it, you're probably doing it, and you are a decorator.
I agree. I think that's so great. And because mm-hmm. people, you know, oh, they pigeonhole themselves, or, hey, if I said I'm a lawyer and I'm not a decorator, I wouldn't be here right now, and I wouldn't have this wonderful chapter in my life, which mm-hmm. I hope goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Another thing that people can do in their home, and it's relatively easy and it's a decorator thing, is to create flow. Right? There's oftentimes you go into somebody's home and, you know, it's almost like a designer showcase home. You know, we maybe, if we like this sort of thing, we've all visited one of those in our lifetime, right? Where each room is, you know, onto itself. There mm-hmm. is no flow. You know, there's the mm-hmm. media
oh, right.
room
yeah.
and the kitchen is, you know, a totally different look. And then there's, you know, the living room, and that's all mid-century, and none of it flows. Mm-hmm. You don't want that in your mm-hmm. own home, obviously. So it's really easy to create flow, and you should know how to do it. And to do it, all you need to do is repeat some elements throughout all the rooms, keep a limited palette, mm-hmm. tweak the elements a little bit as you go through the rooms. Maybe it's a little deeper tone, or if you're doing some nubby linens, maybe it's, you know, in one room it's in the draperies, in another room it's in a pillow, and work in different textures, because you're having a limited palette, you can bring in textures to add some interest. And if you sort of dot each room with these same elements, and your eye, and therefore it'll be pleasing to your eye, will move through the room and then into the next one and flow through the entire house, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, one story ranch or three stories or a duplex or whatever you've got going on. You just carry it throughout. And so creating flow is really not difficult at all.
So what you're saying is just you're creating a cohesive look.
Yeah.
A look that mm-hmm. when you go from one room to another, it's like oh my goodness, what happened? This
right.
is totally different. You
right.
want something
you don't want
that it's seamless. It's seamless.
Seamless.
And
right.
seamless is not always seamless. Seamless takes a lot of work.
True.
Seamless.
Right. It's harder than you think.
Right. But you can do it. If you just use those mm-hmm. few tips, you know, repeat the elements, limit your palette, and then tweak it a little bit through the rooms.
I think
everybody that's listening today can do that.
Well, the beauty of doing it that way is you can move things from one room to another very easily that way.
Good point.
Right.
Good point.
Right.
I think one great way to do that is with paint color. And that's
yes.
in episode 10. And keeping that cohesive look, painting your rooms the same color or a variation of the same color, that goes a long way.
Oh, yeah. Another thing I wanted to throw in there is the importance of having something unique in each room. And I think the best way to do that is to go antique or vintage, because, you know, I think that's something that nobody wants their house to look exactly like everybody else's. They want it to have their own personality, their own stamp on the house. And I think that's one of the easiest and best ways to do it, is to be sure and add something unique and vintage to each room.
That flows right into my next point, and
ooh.
That is...
It's almost like we planned this.
I know.
Oddly enough, we didn't.
That's exactly right. Don't
True.
Be afraid to paint vintage furniture.
Yeah.
Now, I know that there are people like falling over and passing out right now.
Yes, they are.
Uh-huh. But here's my thinking on this. And I've lived this. There are so many beautiful pieces out there that could do exactly what you talked about, Anita. Mm-hmm. Make something very unique. Bring a splash of style into your room that no other kind of decor you can get these days do. But if you paint something, really aren't you recycling it and upcycling it and giving it a second life?
Well, and it's I'm a whole saying, new look. It's I'm amazing.
Not, I'm not saying go get museum quality vintage or antiques and paint them. But, you know, you can go to a vintage antique store and find something that's not, you know, such a gorgeous piece that the you don't want to paint the wood, but, you know, I've painted so many things, and it gives them a second life, breathes life in them, and it also adds a little bit of a modern look to a vintage piece, and that looks really unique.
Well, and I found so many pieces at the thrift store that were a beautiful chair or vanity or whatever, just beautiful lines, but it was the stain had yellowed or something over time. So the color of the stain was just hideous. But with a fresh coat of paint, it just revived it and it was just beautiful.
And painting is such an easy thing to do. There are hundreds of YouTube videos on how to paint furniture and how to breathe new life into it. I couldn't agree with you more. And just the pop it adds to a room and the, like you said, uniqueness and style. It's something so different. It's amazing how it can freshen up everything.
How about filling every single space in your room and hanging things on the walls? How do you feel about that?
Well, that's something that comes up a lot in with readers, I've noticed, is that, you know, they want me to look at spaces, and it might be something where they are wanting to put something in every single space, and that's something I feel very strongly about, is that you need places for your eye to rest. Just like Christopher was overwhelmed with so much in that house, I think a room needs places to rest. I know when you're designing a book or a course, you're supposed to add white spaces.
That's right.
So that everything is separated and your mind and your eye gets to rest. And I think a room needs places to rest. So I like a lot of blank spaces.
I couldn't agree with you more. Just because there's a shelf, you know, well, maybe not a shelf, but just because there's a space on top of cabinetry or there's you know, an area between furniture, it doesn't mean you have to squeeze something in there. I liken it to, like, people sometimes get uncomfortable with silences.
Exactly.
You know, and they feel like they just have to keep talking and fill in the space. Let there be some silences in your room, because then people can take in, you know, maybe that really unique piece, vintage piece, or the piece you painted, or just appreciate what the flow that you've created, and the flow can most certainly should contain some empty spaces, but they're really not even empty because they serve a purpose.
Right, and I think that when you put something, maybe you just said this, but when you put something fantastic in the room, if it's overstuffed, no one's going to notice it.
Right.
That was going to be my point.
Oh, sorry, Yvonne.
No, like mine. But I really think that when you put something on your wall, you just have to do it purposefully, and you have to do what's around it purposefully as well, because you just don't want to have so much that your eye can't focus on one thing first. And the other thing is, and this is sort of a pet peeve, know what you're putting, let's say, on a wall. Don't put something too small. I'd rather something oversized and nothing else than a bunch of little pictures just like floating out in this great expanse of a wall.
Less is more, and big is better.
Exactly. And also edit. You need to revisit what you're doing and just say, okay, do I need to take something off?
Does that remind you of back in the old days, they used to talk about, you know, as the lady was leaving the house, that she should take off a piece of jewelry because perhaps she had on one too many?
There is never such a thing as too much jewelry. Period. Move on.
Okay, that's a rule that can be broken.
Never. Bobby, don't listen to that.
No, Bobby gets the bigger is better diamond.
Yes.
Just put that all together. Oh, how funny. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that you know, too many little, there was a time where it was, you know, sort of that Crystal Carrington thing with like a zillion mirrors on the wall, or a zillion little frames.
Before my time, Anita.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about Dynasty?
I saw that on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
No, that was the Ewings that were in. No, that was Dallas.
How did you know about this? I've never heard of it.
What? Dallas? Yvonne. So, you smarty pants.
Don't put too many. And you don't have to create a gallery wall just because they were popular. You know, if that's not your thing. Just don't, you know, slap a bunch of things up on the wall. Less is more. Big is better. We'll put that in the book of quotes.
And we'll also put that on the show notes. How about that?
That sounds good.
And you can find the show notes on our site, decoratingtipsandtricks.com. As well as, I think, all three of our posts, our blogs, right, girls?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, okay, definitely. Good. I think was that everything? Did anyone have anything else?
Well, I think we covered a lot today of what you should know about decorating. You know, there's so much more to know, but, you know, today you got a deep, dark confession, and you got a lot of sort of, you know, bigger concept tips. So I think we've covered it.
I think we're good.
Okay, so remember, we're here to inspire you to create a beautiful home. Until next time.
Hey there. If you're loving our podcast like we're loving our podcast, we would love you to rate and review us. Head to iTunes to do that. It's easy and it would mean so much to us. And if you do rate and review us, we're going to enter you to win a fantastic giveaway. The details for the giveaway are in the show notes for this episode, and you can find the show notes at decoratingtipsandtricks.com.